Now, we start on Wednesday evening with Psalm 119, and the reason for that is because we're coming into Romans chapter 6, and that is such a heavy, heavy section, and with Christmas coming and the classes missed and so forth, it's not a good time to begin that section at all. So we'll put on hold Romans 6, which is our second major section of the book. We're going to put that off until about the 10th of January. And in the meantime, we have 22 sections in Psalm 119 pertaining to the Word of God. So let's please go to that. Psalm 119. We did our first section last time. As you recall, the entire 119th Psalm is all molded about the Word of God. It's put together in a very artistic way. Remember, it is an alphabetic or acrostic psalm. And that means if you look down at verses 1 through 8, which in English take up two lines. For example, it opens by saying, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, comma, new line, who walk in the law of the Lord. However, if you were looking at the Hebrew Bible, it isn't that way. Those two lines are one line, which means then in Psalm 119, 1 through 8, you have eight single line bits of poetry. The characteristic of each one of the lines is the way they begin. And the characteristic that is there, they're all around the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph. And therefore you have Aleph, first line, Aleph, second, Aleph, third, down through line 8. Then when you come to verses 9 through 16, and you probably have marked in your Bible that these are B-E-T-H, bait lines, each one of those lines, 9, 10, 11, 12, single lines, begin with the letter Beth, like that. So it's an alphabetic psalm, and it goes on until you've done the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The first or opening of Psalm 119, however, is framed with a particular word. Line 1 begins with the word Ashrei, blessed. Line 2 begins with the word blessed. It is in the plural, and the idea is full happiness. The idea is full happiness. Those two words never occur outside of verses or lines 1 and 2. In other words, they are somewhat the heading for the entire psalm. The entire psalm is who is the really, truly, fully happy person. And this proceeds then to give sort of a heading. As we illustrated last time, it's somewhat like opening a book, and the first letter is what is called a drop cap. It's a great big letter, and it may be and, finish the line, another line, another line, another line, another line, another line, and then you come out to the full text width. And that is somewhat, at least for visual purposes, the way we ought to think of Psalm 119, except right up here, instead of a letter, is a message. And the message is, blessed, blessed, or full happiness, or fully happy, is, and the rest of the psalm describes that man. We went through the eight verses last time, and now let's go to the Beth lines. The Beth lines. 119, 9 through 16. And in each case, we'll try to begin by saying, what are the verses about, or what is the theme that is here? The theme in verses 9 through 16 revolves about the decision to obey God's word. Decision to obey God's word. And really, it breaks into two parts, easy to outline. First is a conclusion. The conclusion is verse 9. And it opens with a question and then answers it. So verse 9 reads, how can a young man keep his way pure? Answer, by keeping it according to thy word. So how can he keep pure? Question, conclusion. By obeying God's word. That then is followed by the rest of the lines, which can be summarized as resolution. 10 through 16. For example, if you go down to verses 15 and 16, notice the lines that indicate resolve. Verse 15, I will meditate on thy precepts and will regard your ways. I shall delight in thy statutes and I shall not forget thy word. And then you have the tone of determination. Notice verse 10. Verse 10 says, with all my heart I have sought thee. Verse 11, thy word have I treasured in my heart. Get the idea of resolution, determination there. And then verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So the tone then is resolution. So we've got two words then that tie the paragraph together. How can you keep pure? Conclusion, by obeying the word of God. Verse 10, I'm going to do it. I will resolve. Decision to obey God's word. Second is to take the words of the baselines and do a comparison with the first eight lines. The way it would be easy to take this would be to look at the each little section and say, all right, we open with the Aleph lines. That's all a neat, self-contained package. Then we move to the Beth lines, and that's all a neat, self-contained passage. And that is true. However, there is, between the Aleph lines and the Beth lines, there is a comparison. There is a link. They are truly tied together in a real way. Now, what is that? Four ways. Notice he moves from impersonal idea of God and who he is and who the word is or what the word is. Impersonal becomes personal. Impersonal becomes personal. The Aleph lines have something in them that is impersonal. The Beth lines move on to something personal. Let me demonstrate it. For example, in 1:19:2, he says, how blessed are those who observe his testimony. Notice the remark in those lines is something about those people. Impersonal. But if you come down to verse 10, the second set of lines, he says, with all my heart I have sought thee. So notice then the move from those people and how happy they are to me and how happy I am. So the move then, as we've summarized it in a caption, he moves from impersonal ideas to personal ideas. What God did for them, and now he says what God is doing for me. The idea of moving from personal to impersonal. That's the first set of comparison. The second comparison is prayer becomes practice. What he asks for in the A lines becomes practice in the B lines. And since we do not read Hebrew, let's just do A and B lines. The A lines and the B lines. In the A lines, he desires to obtain right priorities. In the B lines, he desires to maintain priorities. And that's found in verse 5 and verse 10. First, verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Notably, that's a desire to get things properly together. However, in verse 10, it is not a desire to obtain right priorities. It's this. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander. In other words, he's now talking about maintaining priorities. Let me obtain them, verse 5. Now let me maintain them, verse 10. Third, promise becomes fulfillment. The promise is found in verse 7, and it is a promise to proclaim God's name. In the B lines, it turns to not a promise, but a practice. He actually does it. First, the promise to do it, verse 7. The practice of doing it, verse 13. First, verse 7. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. In other words, I make a promise, and my promise is I will give praise or I will give thanks. I promise to do it. However, look at verse 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. What was promise is now practice. Fourth, is his desire to begin learning in the A lines, promise or desire to begin learning in the B lines becomes the desire to continue learning. Desire to begin becomes desire to continue. Verse 7, desire to begin. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. But verse 12 says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me or continue to teach me your statutes. I want to begin, verse 7. I want to continue, verse 12. Conclusion. Believers can change. Believers can change. Parenthesis, growth. And we'll find going throughout the entire 119th Psalm that this man changed. He prayed for something, then he got it. He said, I would like to have this, then he got it. He would say, I want to learn about the Word of God. He learned later. And so the idea is believers can change, and therefore that has a few implications. I hadn't seen ex-believer for 10 years, and I met them, and they're just the same. How sad. Hopefully that means that the good qualities that used to be there are still there. But it ought to also be a very strong evidence that there's been growth, there's development, that whereas we used to worry about everything, we have now begun to learn in Philippians, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God. We have grown. And this is important. Under the ministry of the Word of God, believers can change. And since we are coming to a new year, it simply says that if you find yourself now seated here 1 year from today, none of us should be the same. There ought to have been growth, and the Psalm 119 is going to say that growth occurs under the ministry of the Word of God, and that's the purpose and the point of it. All right, let's go back then to look at the Psalm, verses 9 through 16 in detail. First, the conclusion. Part 1, conclusion. 119:9. Notice the way the psalm begins. It says, how? And let's focus on that word, how. Because the word how is in Hebrew a compound word. It's made up of two words. And the two words are ma and be. The word ma is the Hebrew word that means what? Be is a Hebrew preposition that means by. Interrogative pronoun, what? Followed by preposition, by. Therefore, you put them together, and it says, by what? And when you mix those two together, it means, by what means? By what means? And that is the focal point. By what means can a young man keep his way pure? So a life that is described as a pure lifestyle. The emphasis here is not on what is it. The emphasis is on how to get it. The emphasis is there any way that we can have this kind of lifestyle? Is there anything we can do? Is there any means? Is there any condition that we need to meet? Is there a tool for developing the Christian life? And therefore, tool in English would be the idea. What tool is there by which a young man can keep his way pure? How is the first word introducing the means. The second word to look at is the word young man. Young man. Now, the first point I think to make is, what does it mean by young man? Can we get any age parameters on that? And there are two passages that can help us with the Hebrew word. The first is Exodus 2:6, and the second is Genesis 37:2. And they will at least help get the idea of young man, what is young? The first is Exodus 2. We're trying to see what are the parameters involved in the word young man. Chapter 2 and verse 6. And here is the finding of Moses, who had been placed in a basket. And in verse 6 it says, when the queen came down and opened it, that's the basket down by the Nile, she saw the child, and behold, the boy. And the word boy is the same word as our word young man in Psalm 119. So that sets one end of the parameters. What can a young man be? It can apply to a child of 3 months. So that is very young. On the other hand, notice Genesis 37 and verse 2, where the same word is applied to someone else. And in this particular context, Joseph is spoken of as a son of Jacob, and in verse 2 it says, these are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth. And the word youth is the same word as we have in how can a young man cleanse his way, and we have a time fix, he's 17 years of age. Now, we ought to say one other thing going back to Psalm 119, and that is this. When it says, how can a young man keep his way pure, does this apply only to young men? It would not be true to ask, how can a young woman keep her way pure? Or is this verse exclusive? And that's the important thing to note, is that while the age focuses on very young man, that does not exclude. So this is not exclusive. It focuses, and it focuses particularly on a young man, but it does not exclude. And when he says in this context, how can a young man keep his way pure by taking heed to the word of God, that won't work for anybody else. You have to say, well, that's a nice verse, but I'm an old man. Or that's a nice verse, but I'm a young woman. I won't say, but I'm an old woman, because there are none. But nonetheless, is this exclusive? And I think it's obvious that this is not the case. We could say something like this. We do it in English. We focus without excluding. You say, for example, how can a young man be successful in his profession? And you give a reply like persistent effort, work hard, be diligent. Now that applies to nobody else. If you're over 40, that won't work. Diligence and effort and skill don't count. So we use that word not to exclude, but for the specific purpose of focusing on a particular thing. So the focus is here. Now, why the focus on a young man? Why does he want to do that? Well, since he is addressing the nation, I think his reason is simply this. As go young men, as go young men, so goes Israel, or so goes the nation. And it is true that not only here, but in the wisdom books of the Old Testament, the focus is on young men. For example, go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, or over to the book of Proverbs. And you meet, I believe, the same person as young man in Psalms. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 1. Well, 1:8. Let's go back to 1:8 and you'll see the thrust. And notice that the wisdom for living life is directed to young men. So you have Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. So the focal point is on a young man. Chapter 2. My son, if you'll receive my sayings. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. So notice in the wisdom books that impart ability to live life in a proper way, the focal point is on the young men, and therefore a principle. As these young men go, so goes the nation. After all, they will become the fathers, and the fathers were head of households. The household head will raise the children. The father is extremely important as far as the book is concerned. So back to 1:19 and verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? And the focal words here are in a verb, keep pure. The single verb, keep pure, has two meanings to it. It means to make pure, and also, as our text says, to keep pure. And I mention that only to indicate that it is not only keep, it is also to make. And the implication of the word is, if there is a pure way, the word of God can help you keep it that way. If the way is not pure, then the word of God can help you make it that way. So either way we go, the audience is of young men with pure way, with impure way. If it's impure, get into the Word of God. It can change you. If already pure, get into the Word of God. It can keep you along that path. Now, I think we usually think when we have the word pure, and I bet every mind here has gone in what direction with the word pure? Your mind has gone in the direction of sexual connotations, has it not? That's not there. The word means to make or keep clean. To make or keep clean. For example, and let's go to two contexts to show that the word is not just a word involving sexual purity. The word involves much more than that in cleanliness. Psalm 73, verse 13. Same word now as pure or keep pure. Psalm 73, 13. Now this is a sort of a moaning psalm. In Psalm 73, Asaph has looked around and all the wicked people are prospering. You go back to verse 3. I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued with mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They've set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. What is the theme? The success of the ungodly, or the success of the wicked. Therefore, you come down to the following verses, and you come down to verse 13, and the wail of the psalmist is this: when I see all of their prosperity, surely, verse 13, for nothing or in vain I have kept my heart pure. Now notice in the context it has nothing to do with sexual purity. It simply says, I've lived life in a clean way. I have not been arrogant, I've been clean. I have not been proud, I've been clean. And so the idea is of proper conduct. Idea is proper conduct. Let me show you the word keep clean one other place. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Proverbs 20 and verse 9. Verse 9 is set in the context of business honesty. Verse 9, he says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure. Same word as in Psalm 119. Pure from my sin. Differing weights and differing measures, both of them are an abomination or abominable to the Lord. And so, in the context here, the cleanness is doing business clean. Being honest in your business dealings. The whole umbrella, I think, that fits it is proper conduct. So let's go back to Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man particularly, or anybody in general, keep or make his lifestyle proper, what it ought to be? In other words, how can we, anyone, pull our life together? Now, one other thing about that word keep pure is it is a P-A-L stem. And remember, P-A-L in Hebrew is the intensive form. Intensive form. So if we would add that note from the Hebrew, how can a young man keep his way meticulously right? Something you need to take the word clear or clean and give it intensity. Particularly, especially, or spotlessly. How can a young man keep his conduct spotlessly clean is the idea involved in it. That then is followed by conclusion. And then as soon as we see the conclusion, we can go on and move into the resolution. If it can do this for me, then I need to make a decision. And the decision I need to make is to obey it. That is the theme of the Bath Lines. But notice now the conclusion before we get to the resolution. How can a young man keep his way pure? Answer or conclusion. By keeping it according to thy word. So first, important word is keeping, by keeping it. First of all, the word keeping has already become very important. Because if you'll notice verse 4, thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them. Verse 5, oh that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. And verse 8, I shall keep. So it's already become important, and we will find out that it becomes more so because this word occurs a total of 21 times in Psalm 119. The basic meaning involves three things. It means to obey. It means to watch. And it means to preserve. Now, to close out our last few minutes, let's see these ideas that are involved in this very important word. Genesis 2, verse 15. What does it mean to keep God's word? And I'm sure our initial thoughts are certainly it means to obey, which it does. But notice there's much more involved in the word than just obeying. There's a care, a watchfulness that is involved there. Genesis 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and to keep it. Keeping the word is what then a gardener does with his garden. How can a young man keep his way pure? By cultivating the Word of God. By caring for it like you would care for a garden, is the attitude toward it. Genesis 30, 31. Genesis 30, 31. It's another figure of speech. What we're to do with the Word of God is like keeping a garden. We till it, so to speak. But in Genesis 30 and verse 31, and we're within the context of the keeping of the sheep by Jacob, and he is asked in verse 20, what shall I give you? That is for his care of the sheep. And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you'll do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep. Same word. So it's used of what a shepherd does with sheep. How can a young man keep his way clean or make his way clean? By keeping the word of God, like you keep a garden, like a shepherd keeps sheep. Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21, verse 11. In Isaiah 21 and verse 11, the word found in Psalm 119 is used again. He says, the oracle concerning Edom, one keeps calling to me from Sir, watchman, and that is the word, watchman. Watchman, how far gone is the night? Watchman, how far gone is the night? And the watchman says. And so it's used of shepherding sheep. It's used of Adam tilling the garden. It's used of a watchman over a city. So you get the idea of protection, of caring for the Word of God. Isaiah 42, just over a few pages. Isaiah 42, 20. And notice the idea of obedience comes out here because Isaiah says, you've seen many things, but you do not observe. Same word as Psalm 119. You do not observe or obey them. Your ears are open, but no one hears. Now, let's close out by going quickly back to Psalm 119 and verse 9. By what means can a young man, focal point, but not exclusive point, keep his way pure? Answer, by keeping, K carefully, like a watchman, like a gardener, like a shepherd, by keeping it according to your word. In other words, our lifestyle is something to be cultivated, and the object of the keeping is right here, the way, proper conduct. The conduct ought to be fed, nurtured, and how do you feed it and how do you nurture it? You nurture it by the Word of God. And this is the theme set up in these faith verses. We'll pick up with the resolution next hour. Father, we're thankful today for your Word. In Christ's name, amen.